Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Now joined by a good friend of the show, J.J. Piccolo, Vice President, Assistant General Manager of Player Personnel, the Kansas City Royals. Hello, J.J., how are you?
Doing great, guys. How's everybody doing there?
Doing very well, J.J. This may shock you and surprise you, but I'd like to ask you questions about Bobby Witt Jr., because, boy, oh, boy, this kid is something else. And I like to hear other people talk about him. And I mean, Danny Duffy was effusive in his praise of Bobby Witt Jr. And I totally understand. This isn't spring training. This isn't games. But the kid can only do what he can do. And so you tell me, when you see him, how slick he looks in the field, how impressive he's been at the plate, what can you take away from a young kid's performance like this in the situation that you guys right now are going through?
Well, the thing that really stands out is just how mature he is. You just watch the way he goes about his business, the way he interacts with people. He's far more mature than 20 years old. And just to handle himself, you know, you can see in spring training when we have young guys in camp, you know, it'll unnerve some guys. And with Bobby, it just seems like this is where he's meant to be. He's so comfortable out there. Offensively, he's handled himself exceptionally well. Defensively, and the thing I've always said from the time I saw him play in high school, there's just an energy about him that really stands out, and he separates himself from everybody else just because of the way he gets on and off the field. And it's really good to see that he's not changing who he is. He's not trying to do too much. You know, he's had some really incredible two-strike at-bats. I mean, fouling pitches off and then hitting a single right field or turning on a ball. It's just been very impressive. But I think the maturity, more than anything, really jumps out at you.
When you talk about how comfortable he is, one of the things Stephen and I have been talking a lot about is that he's spent so much time around a big league clubhouse. I'm guessing he's good about the idea that every sport has a culture, and I know in baseball, because I've been in the clubhouse a lot, to know there. If you're not a guy that's necessarily earned his way there yet, you shouldn't act too comfortable in there. You shouldn't act like you own the place, so to speak. And I'm guessing he probably has that right balance of acting like he's comfortable, but not, not being abrasive or annoying to the veterans that he's trying to be a part of at some point.
Without question, Nate, I think a lot of that just has to do with his upbringing. Not only his dad being a former major league player, but his mom's been around the game for a long time. His siblings have been involved in sports. His siblings, future husband and husband, are baseball players. And you're talking about just a family that's ingrained in the sport. And yeah, the other thing that Bobby was fortunate enough to be a part of, I mean, even his high school team had several former major league players' kids on the team. So it's just a very different background. And it comes out when he's in an environment that he should be a little bit unnerved, but he's just not, because I think he's just, in his mind, this is where he belongs. You know, he's probably never had a doubt in his mind whether or not he's a major league player. And, you know, watching him at Kauffman Stadium really isn't too much different than watching him when he played in high school or down in Arizona. He just looks very comfortable. So I think a lot of it does have to do with his upbringing, and his parents did just a fabulous job in raising him the right way. Very respectful, very humble. You know, one thing that I know Dayton says to every first-round pick that we've ever had here, you know, your job as a first-round pick is to treat everybody else like they're the first-round pick, and that comes very naturally to Bobby.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. I wanted to ask you also, J.J., about Nick Prado, who had a good night last night. A nice defensive play. We had a nice scoop, a pickup of Bobby Witt. And so they combined, and I know that hopefully we'll see that in a regular season game sometime in the future for the Royals. But he had a nice night at the plate, went deep. What about former first-round pick Nick Prado?
He's making some really good strides. I mean, it's been good to see him in this setting as well. You know, Nick had a tough year last year, but he never really wavered in his work ethic and his confidence. Did a lot of great work in the fall with Alex Zumwalt, our director of hitting, and Drew Saylor, our hitting coordinator. Carried it through the offseason, came into spring training. We felt like everything that we were asking him to do, he was on that path. And like a lot of young hitters, they'll get off it for a little bit and then they get back on it. And I think, you know, the previous couple of days, Nick had a couple, you know, I don't want to say tough days, but he just didn't have the success. So trying to convince him to stay with a certain approach can be tough when they don't have the success. They don't get the hits or hit the ball hard. But yesterday, I think that homer will pick his spirits up and he'll grow from there. But he's doing a really good job and just staying the course and trusting the process and doing what he needs to do to get better as a hitter. But he's an extremely talented kid offensively and defensively, and now it's just you want them to have success. So hopefully the day he had yesterday will carry into today and into the coming weeks.
Now that we're getting a chance, or you're getting a chance to kind of witness this unique practice setup, training camp setup that we have right now, how would you compare these inter-squad games to a regular spring training game?
There's a very different feel, no question about it. You know, we've had two games where we've actually had two lineups, you know, full teams playing against each other. But because we got to protect guys' legs and we can't play full nine-inning games and have two lineups every day just yet, you know, Mike Matheny and Pedro Grifol have done a fabulous job in the way they're running this. So you have eight guys on the field. You have four or five guys that are in hitting after either three outs or six outs. They go out to the field and another four or five guys come in to hit. So that it has a different feel for sure. You look around the field, there's pitchers doing conditioning in the outfield. There's hitting going on in the batting cages. So it has a different feel, but the thing that has stood out, I think the intensity has been really good. And that's what you worry about in a non-traditional setting. Can players really bring it every day? And it's harder for the veteran player to do it than the young player. When the lights come on, the veteran players, you know, then they turn the dial up. But from what we've seen, they're competing really well. We see guys running balls out. We see pitchers being aggressive. So it's been fun to watch, you know, in a less than ideal situation. But a lot of credit just, I think, goes to our staff for the sort of the tone they've set and the culture they've created and what we need to get out of these 3 weeks. And we feel pretty good about starting the season. I almost feel like outside of the pitchers not having their innings built up, we could start tomorrow and be ready to go. But, you know, we have another about 8 days or so before we open up. But I think the tone that's been set certainly has helped what is a different type of spring training.
JJ, you got to feel real good that you got Salvador Perez back. I mean, it's hard to believe that we haven't seen Salvi in a game since 2018, and we all want to see Salvi back. And that's just a guy that, I mean, even before the game, the smile on his face, the enthusiasm, it just makes you happy, and it makes you happy because he's happy playing baseball, so you're happy watching him play baseball. That's got to be a really big boost for everyone to get him back in action.
Absolutely, Steven. Yesterday when he came to the batter's box, he hit third, and it's like, wow, we haven't seen him at Kauffman Stadium play for a really long time. You know, and you're right, the energy he brings, the way the leadership he brings, it just sort of changes, you know, our team. You know, aside from how talented he is. But, it, you know, he got a hit at first at bat yesterday, and you see the smile on his face. And I think it's just I think you said it already, but it's sort of a sigh of relief. You know, we need that person on the field as much as possible. And, again, not just talent, but the leadership he brings. It's a real pick-me-up and comes at a good time. You know, again, we're 8-9 days away from opening day. And now you got your leader on the field, and now you look out there, and Gordo's in left, and Merrifield's out there, and Salvi on the field. It's like, okay, now guys like Nicky Lopez, they benefit. The younger player benefits by having, you know, protection around them. So it makes your team much more complete, and obviously at a vital position on the field, maybe the most important position aside from the pitcher. So it's good to see him out there, and just keep him healthy, and, you know, get him to the starting line, and have a great season.
We're visiting with J.J. Piccolo, and J.J., I'm assuming you talk to guys, peers of yours, friends of yours that are in other organizations around the league, and Could you describe what do you get the sense the feeling is around baseball, just in terms of whether it's excitement for the season to start, you know, curious to see how the season's going to go? How motivated is everybody in terms of trying to win this year? Like, what is your sense on what we can expect going into this unusual season?
It's something that's happened over the course of the last 3 months. I think we've had more communication with the other 29 clubs than we've ever had, because everybody's curious about how are you handling this, how are you handling that, how do we get the major league season started, what can we do in the minor leagues. There's been a lot of dialogue, more than we've ever had, and I think the industry's ever had, with each other about things other than, hey, I'm interested in this player, you know, that type of discussion. So the sense I get is there's a lot of excitement about the season, and we all feel like we're in a great position with the processes that are in place to play the season, you know, in a safe way. I think we collectively feel that way. I think the questions are, how are you going to handle it if you have one guy test positive? And how are you going to travel guys with the club? And we're allowed to bring three players on each road trip. That's a taxi squad player, in case you have an injury or somebody tests positive, you have somebody on site to plug him in. So the questions have been more procedural around if you have a positive test and all the contact tracing sort of bylaws that we got to play by. You know, how are you going to handle that? So that's more of the questions we have, and you have to. We're going to have to learn as we go. You have to be prepared. You got to try to think of every scenario that could possibly happen. You know, if you're at home and you have something like that happen, it's pretty easy. You get somebody from your taxi squad. It's more when you're on the road. You know, how are you going to get players from point A to point B? We're going to drive. And there's a lot of different ideas, but, you know, you just, for every scenario you try to go through, something's going to happen during the season that you didn't quite cover, you know. So that's been the discussion, and I think that's been, I don't even want to use the word concern. It's more curiosity. How are you thinking about doing this, or how are you going to handle that? But as far as the excitement for the season, there's not one assistant general manager I've spoken to that is worried about the season getting off the ground and getting through the year. So, knock on wood, hopefully that's the way it goes.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. J.J., my final question for you. You mentioned Nicky Lopez. And, look, you guys have had some really just good people go through that clubhouse the past several seasons. And I had a chance to MC the Challenger Fashion event. I MC that every year, and he was one of the athletes that was kind enough to come out and be a model with some of the Challenger kids. And he was just, I mean, all the guys that come out and donate their time are great, but he was off the charts, JJ. Just watching him interact with, like, the kids and their families and going out of his way to thank people, and it just, when something happens like that, you take note, and it's clearly a guy that's going to be very easy to root for, and the fans are going to grow to love. Just curious, not only about Nicky the person, but based on what you saw from him last year, maybe what are some of the things that he needs to work on, and what your expectations are for the Royals second baseman?
Well, first of all, it's not surprising to hear you say that about, you know, what you witnessed and experienced with him, because that's who he is. Yeah, that's real. And we knew that from the day we signed him. Matt Price was our area scout that signed him, and that's exactly what he described as a person. And then when he first went to Burlington, North Carolina, I think it was within the first 3 or 4 days, Scott Thornton was our manager there, and he called and said, look, I don't know where you guys got this player, but he is unbelievable, just as a leader and his passion for the game, and again, his humility. So it's not very surprising that he's continued to do that. And that's, when you look at championship teams, you have guys like that on your team. You know, they may not be the leadoff hitter, the three-hole hitter, the four-hole hitter, or your number one starter. Championship teams are made up of players like that around superstars like Salvi. So that's not too surprising. But as far as as far as what Nicky needs to do, I think he really just needs to stay the course. You know, he went through a really good experience last year with struggling in the major leagues. And he'll tell you this, he spoke to a lot of our drafted players from 2019 in January when he was up here for FanFest. And he very openly talked about his struggles and how he had to stay the course. And he got through that period of time, so now he has that experience to build on. And the thing that Nicky's always done so well is he's always just understood his role as a hitter, as a defender. And none of us are concerned with that at all. So really it's just a matter of staying on course with what he's doing, learning how to prepare for opposing pitchers, expanding on that procedure that players have to learn over the course of their first couple years. And when he does that, you know, those little slumps you may go into, you may cut them down by a couple games. And if you're able to do that, you know, your season is going to be a lot better when it's all said and done. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, continuing to learn how to prepare as a major league player, and really nothing to do with his ability. He's there because he's good enough to be there. And now it's a preparation because the pitching is a lot better than it was in AAA or AA or wherever else he had played. So he's on a great track, and I'm excited to see what he does this season, which will be his first full season.
And me too. JJ, thanks a lot for the time. We're happy that we're one step closer to baseball, and we will talk to you very soon, sir.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
That is JJ Piccolo. We will. Love talking baseball, JJ Piccolo. And Jake, you can back me up on that. And look, like I said, there's been a lot of really good guys that have come through the clubhouse with the Kansas City Royals over the past decade, or just, you know, since Dayton Moore's taken over. But I mean, that kid, he was something else. I mean, and you watch, and he'd go up to, just give you an example, he would go up to a family of one of the Challenger athletes. When one of the Challenger athletes, after the fashion show, was sitting out there, go up there and thank the athlete for letting him be involved, and thank the family. I mean, came up to me and said, "Hey, thank you very much for introducing me on stage. I really appreciated this." He was so thrilled to be part of an event that was so meaningful in raising money. And look, any athlete that comes out there and like takes part in an event like that, it's so meaningful, because time is worth more than money when it comes to someone like that. Just to for them to add their name and add their efforts to it. But then to see him and how gracious he was, I just get a kick out of that. And then you see the kids light up because Royals player came up to me and talked to me and was asking me and thanking me. And Jake, you experienced that too. So man, I want that kid to succeed and play well, because I love him.
Yeah, he was a treat to be around. I mean, he was genuinely just thrilled to be a part of it. And he understood his role, and he accepted it, and he took it and ran with it. And what a treat. Yeah, you're right. His whole family was there, and his parents were nice.
Oh, they were awesome.
Oh, they were great. They were great. They sat at Rex's table, and it was great to meet him and his family. But they were genuinely nice people, and you just got that feeling, you know, that he went out of his way. You know, sometimes you get lip service, and that's, you know, sometimes that's part of the deal. And but you could tell this was genuine, is the word that sticks with me.
That's exactly right. Nate, you may not know this, but again, one of his nicknames back in Western Illinois, Jake, was known as Lip Service.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what the origin was, but it's a weird nickname for a college guy to have. Yeah.
He had a lot of nicknames.
I know, didn't he? A lot of aliases. A
lot of nicknames.
Yeah. He, you know what? He deserved them all.
That's right.
I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's feeling it now. He's got his drops. Now we're getting, yeah. No, I like it. Come on, man.
How many different laugh tracks does he have now?
I didn't get that. Try tapping above.
That's right. He's getting all of his tools back.
Yeah.
Batman's putting his utility belt back on. He's got all of his bells and whistles. Let's talk to Billy Donlin next, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.